How are the solas of the Lutheran Reformation God's gift to all Christians? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is titled Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. You can read an excerpt and purchase Grace, Faith, Scripture at IssuesETC.org. Be sure to request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. Grace, Faith, Scripture, Portrait of a Lutheran.
I will be completely honest. I will disclose my personal stake in this fight because I have student loans too. And I think it's so funny. A year ago, I was waiting tables in a restaurant, and it was literally easier for me to become the youngest woman in American history elected to Congress than it is to pay off my student loan debt.
That's Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez introducing legislation earlier this week that would forgive the $1.6 trillion of student loan debt faced by over 45 million Americans. I think anybody who graduated from college recently knows exactly what that feels like to graduate and to already be in hock. Who would turn down complete forgiveness of your student debt? Well, some people would. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Joy Pullman is one of those who would turn down such largesse from the government. We'll find out why. She's managing editor of The Federalist and author of the book, The Education Invasion, a recent column as well, titled Millennials Should Work Their Behinds Off to Pay Their Own College Debt Like I Did. Joy, welcome back.
Hi there. Thank you.
Why would you turn down an offer of absolute forgiveness of all of you, your and your husband's college student debt?
Well, the first reason is that I think it is wrong to take other people's money through force. I consider that stealing, so it's morally prohibited. But a second reason is that just practically speaking, when the government does this sort of thing, it doesn't ever end. And we've already seen that. You know, in the United States, we basically have welfare programs for just about almost every demographic. So, I think the pushes for, you know, taxpayers to cover the student loan debt for young people of my age are just basically saying, well, if everyone else is going to get a handout, I want one too. I don't think that is a just society, one in which we can reach into each other's pockets and basically take away, you know, all of the hard work and sweat, you know, that they put into earning that money. So I think it's a moral obligation for all of us to pay our own way in life to the extent possible. And for almost every single person in America, it is possible for them to pay their own way in life themselves.
Okay, so it sounds like what you're saying here is it's not only a practical impossibility, because of course, if we forgive $1.6 trillion accrued to this point, there'll be people like my age saying, hey, I paid my own, maybe the government should give me some reparations for that.
Why wouldn't we pay off medical debt? Why wouldn't we pay off, you know, loans taken out to put kids in daycare? Why wouldn't we pay off car loans? Why wouldn't we pay off credit card debt? You know, once that threshold is bridged, everything's on the table. And look, you know, the nation has $20 trillion in debt already, several hundred trillion in unfunded liabilities. That's money that we have promised to people in the future that they are relying on that we have not saved up for. We are already, just ruining our future by acting like this. We've got to stop it.
So there's also a more philosophical, maybe even existential reason why that it's not just not possible, but you seem to be arguing it's not good for us to take that step. What do you mean?
Well, that's absolutely right. Because really what it means to be an adult is to take responsibility for your own life choices. And I have heard, you know, a lot of talk about how young people like me have been sold a bill of goods with college, so that, you know, and they're young, and so they're not entirely culpable. It's not all their fault, you know, that they made bad decisions about college. And I do think there is some value in that. But again, every single one of us in life has had bad things happen to us that are other people's fault, at least partially or sometimes completely. And we all have to deal with that. That's part of what it means to be a responsible human being. And again, you know, young people, when I was looking at colleges when I was 17, 18 years old, I had options, right? I didn't have to take on college debt. I had a number of free or low cost options that I could have made my way through college, you know, working and paying the bills. in state and community colleges are still, you know, at a level, I think the average is something between $7,000 to $10,000 a year annually. That is absolutely, you know, something that somebody can earn in an entire year, you know, to pay for that kind of education. So nobody is holding a gun to young people's head and saying you have to take on $100,000 in student loans. Their own vanity is absolutely puffed up. You know, our culture is lying to them, you know, but and it is not impossible to, you know, to pay your own way again. And so then since it's not impossible and no one's forcing you to do it, I mean, I think we are morally obligated to do it.
So Representative Ocasio-Cortez has made the claim several times that she actually had to run for Congress and get herself into that position where she's making the $174,000 a year that a freshman congressman makes in order to pay off her debt. She seems to imply very strongly that you have to make that kind of money to pay off the debt accrued in educating yourself. You say your life basically proves that's false. Tell us your story.
Oh, well, that's absolutely true. So as a member of Congress, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez is making $174,000 a year. And so, of course, she's, you know, living in the D.C. area now as a representative. And in fact, my husband and I, after college, we graduated at the height of the Great Recession. So there were very few jobs available, especially for entry-level people with very little experience like we were. You know, so there we were looking for a job with very few prospects and, you know, debt hanging over our heads. And we went to one of the most expensive places to live in the country, but a job brought us there. You know, I got a job offer out of college. And it was, my husband took basically whatever work that he could get because we had bills to pay. And so our combined income at that time was approximately a third of what Ms. Ocasio-Cortez is making now. And so, I mean, we weren't even under, you know, we weren't living like a poverty life by any means either. And it took us about 2 years to pay off about $30,000 in college debt, which is pretty close to the national average that graduates have when they exit college. We were able to do it. I mean, we couldn't, you know, fly around. Actually, we did. I mentioned in the article, we did fly around the country a little bit to go home for Christmas. So we had health care. I had good benefits through my job. We had great food to eat. We had to make most of it ourselves and not go out to eat that much. You know, we didn't go out to movies. You know, we definitely pinched pennies, but it wasn't like we were living, you know, a hand-to-mouth existence. Our food was, you know, great homemade meals. You know, we weren't only eating ramen and rice and beans, and it was, you know, a complete meal. So our ability to do that on a huge, you know, hugely reduced amount of money than it is available to her. So I know that it's personally possible because I've personally done it. And again, it wasn't really actually that painful to do it either. So my husband and I later in life, you know, from using the skills that we developed out of our great need after college, several times had to look at our finances and see basically what is the least amount of money that we have to make in order to live on. And even, I think the last time, you know, we did this calculus, I think we had either three or four kids. We have five now. And, you know, and now we live in the Midwest, so it's much cheaper to live here. But we found we could basically live on something like $30,000 a year without having to drastically, you know, be at scraping the, you know, at begging people to give us clothes for our kids kind of thing, you know, or eating out of the food pantry. And the average American household income is something around $55,000 a year. So it's really expensive to live in D.C., in New York, the kind of places that Ocasio-Cortez lives. But if you're a young person in that situation, you can move. You know, typically young people in that situation don't have, they are mobile. They don't have, you know, children in school. They haven't spent as much time in a certain city putting down roots and things. So they have absolutely the ability to move to a lower cost Midwestern or Western city like we did. So there's all kinds of life choices that are available to people and to be able to pay off their debt themselves. They are absolutely not enslaved to it. It's what's really enslaving them is their own appetites and their, you know, their ignorance about what can be done with the amount of money that you have.
Joy Pullman is our guest. We're talking about millennials and student debt. She's managing editor of The Federalist. We'll discuss what the priorities of many millennials have proven to be over against the responsibility of student debt right after the break.
recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Nadia Bowles Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Public schools are increasingly chaotic and undermine Christian children's faith. We need to rebuild our Lutheran schools to provide a truly Christian alternative. Redeemer Classical School is rebuilding this Christ-focused education in Fort Wayne, Indiana, teaching students to wonder at God's creation and to love their neighbors. We need you to help us give children this faithful Christian education. Donations to Redeemer Classical School go directly to providing scholarships. Visit fortwayneclassical.com/give.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
The point of pure doctrine is simply to have more of what God wants to give. And the same thing with good works. To have corrupt doctrine or weak doctrine or to abstain from good works, God forbid, is to have less of what God wants us to have.
Evolution is the creation story of modern man. So it explains in principle everything, although it doesn't really explain anything.
Nobody says to the abortion choice crowd, you're not pro-choice because you're not for all choices. You're not for school choice. You're not for tax cut choice. You're only for abortion choice.
The only explanation, and I say this as a Christian historian, the gale of satanic force. And it overwhelmed just about everybody.
In about 10 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, and you'll get an opportunity to hear those 4 soundbites in their entirety. And after listening, to vote for them, and your vote will determine which will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the meantime, we're talking about millennials and student debt. Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, is our guest. Joy, I don't want to paint with too broad a brush, because there are a lot of millennials like you and your husband who kind of grew up and said, okay, we've got the student debt, we've incurred it, and we're going to find a way to pay it off sooner or later. That's what probably most people do. But you have some pretty shocking data on millennials about what they're not willing to give up vis-a-vis their indebtedness.
Yes, and thank you actually for noting that about millennials, because the people like me in that group, you know, who don't fit the stereotypes at all that there are a lot of obviously negative stereotypes about my generation. So we really appreciate when people have a kind word to say about us. But the survey that I'm referencing, since I follow education, I noticed it a couple of years ago, and I'm just going to read it, a quote from it. In 2016, a survey from Citizens Bank found that fewer than half, 47% of millennials who are college graduates would be willing to limit their online food delivery in return for reducing their student loans. The majority were also not willing to cut their spending on concerts, sporting events, lattes, vacations, or internet in exchange for smaller student loans. So, I mean, these are basically all of the categories of luxury, you know, or non-necessary goods. And that's exactly what you have to cut if you want to pay down your debt. And that's, you know, that's exactly what my husband and I did. Side note here, for anyone who's worried about debt, we use Dave Ramsey's Total Money Makeover program. We didn't know anything about money. It was really great. So if that is a struggle for you, I highly recommend it. The half of young people in our group basically said, I'd rather have my latte, I'd rather go out to concerts and so on and so forth, then have lower college debt, which is totally fine. I don't, you know, it's their money, it's their life. If they want to have those payments, that's up to them. As long as it remains up to them and they are the ones who manage it. But when then they come and say, oh, now you have to, I mean, do what my husband did, which is work, you know, for years, several years and many summers in desert heat, digging holes in the ground for a fence company. That's how he paid for his college education. You know, so when, you know, when they're saying that rather than that, I want you to work to pay for my expenses, that is when I say, okay, well, then I'm going to start having some opinions about how you spend your money. Because, you know, if you're going to get out there and say that I need to pay your bills, I need to work to pay my bills and your bills, then I'm going to start complaining. But as long as if that remains a private choice, then that's totally fine with me. I don't care until they make me have to care because they're trying to vote for people who would make me pay for their expenses.
You also say that the student debt crisis, I put that in scare quotes, is largely overblown or manufactured. What are the real numbers there? Because we hear this startling, almost kind of earth-shaking amounts often.
Yes. I mean, we hear all these news media stories about so-and-so has $100,000 in debt, $120,000 of debt. Her loan payments are $1,500 a month. You know, she's digging through the garbage and alleys to try to feed herself. You know, so stories like that are not at all common. I mean, it's a very, very small percentage. I think around 3 to 5% range of people who have that kind of debt who are not someone who is going to get a huge payoff because they basically went to, you know, law school or medical school, you know, and their salary is later going to more than make up for that amount of debt that they've taken on. So very, very few people are foolish enough to have done that to themselves without expecting to be able to get a big, big income to pay back those kinds of loans. So in fact, right at graduation, 1/3 of college students don't have any debt. I think that would shock most people. You know, and I think it also proves that obviously, you know, 1/3 of people going to college don't have ridiculously wealthy 1% parents. I know myself a lot of young people who've chosen to work their way through, who've chosen to go to local state, you know, in-state universities, or who picks the college like I did, you know, that gave them a student aid package based on their academic achievement. So they gave, you know, they earned through their academic achievement higher college grants and loans given by gracious donors that I absolutely appreciate to this day. So there absolutely are life choices that can get you still nowadays out of college without any debt at all. And then, you know, for the rest of people, the debt load is actually manageable. And nowadays, you know, the typical person who has college loans, and remember it, I mean, another thing that most people don't know, I don't think, is that young people right now who are ages 18 to 29, only 1/3 of them have any college debt at all. So again, we're not even talking about the majority of young people that have college debt. So this is a minority of people, you know, who even have any college debt to go, and let alone the astronomical, ridiculous sums that we are always seeing scaring, you know, the crap out of us in the media. I do think that debt is a problem. But again, let's put it in perspective here. It's really not as bad as people are being led to believe. And I think, I mean, quite honestly, that people are being told all these scare stories to stampede us into, you know, out of compassion, trying to quote unquote do something to quote unquote help young people, aka, you know, sticking our hands into other people's pockets and stealing from them.
I want you to, in the last few minutes left to us, deal with one other thing, and that is the presupposition behind all of this is if you don't go to college or university or get a full 4-year degree plus something, your life will be completely ruined. So essentially, young people have to go to college, so we have to pay for it, is the logic there. Does everybody really have to go to college, Joy?
Oh, absolutely not. And in fact, you know, with our own kids, we're going to steer them towards basically apprenticeships and craftsman kinds of jobs unless they show some particular aptitude for college education. You know, so they're kind of, if you're kind of like the, you know, the bean counting, pointy headed type, then, you know, college might be for you. But for example, I have a family member who right out of high school had been working a couple of summers with a landscaping company. And so his boss noticed his work ethic, really appreciated him. And by the way, if, you know, it's really hard. Employers will say this over and over again, really hard to find someone with a work ethic who shows up on time and passes a drug test. So if your kid can do that, they will never, never be without a job. And my husband hired, you know, in a managerial position for those kinds of jobs. He said the same thing as well. It's just hard to find. Again, you don't need a college degree. You just need to not take drugs and to show up at work on time. You know, basically anybody from a decent family can do that. So this this young person that I'm talking about, my family member, he had been working at this landscaping company. And at the end of high school, his boss offered him a 5-year contract to earn $50,000 a year, plus paying for him to get his college degree in landscaping. So we're talking taking on no debt, earning $250,000 total at age 18, plus getting a free college degree. That is not a singular opportunity. They're in the trades. There are many, many opportunities like that. And since, you know, it's obviously, I think it's very obviously that that would be a win-win for starting one's life, we're going to kind of encourage our kids to check that out before we think about going to college.
Finally there, Joy, we are being kind of tantalized with a notion, and it's the general notion, that things ought to come to us in life free to us, that our healthcare, in the best of all possible worlds, should be free, that our education should be free, and who knows what else you can tack on to the rest of that bill. What is fundamentally wrong with that notion that we should be able to go through life more or less without any major expenses and still be able to binge Netflix and order our food online?
Well, it's just, I mean, I don't know where these kids' parents have been all their lives, but my parents certainly didn't teach me, you know, that life owed me anything. My dad actually is a farmer, so I grew up with very, very good work ethic. And I thank him for that, because it has been that, you know, I would say that's the number one thing that has made, you know, for success in my life. And not just professionally, but also personally, to keep at persistence, to keep at a problem, you know, to not stop to, you know, I mean, obviously, how do you think I take care of my kids, right? You know, so it's been just a great addition to my character and my skill set to have my parents teaching me that. I mean, I honestly think that partly it's just that America is such a great country that it's really easy to fall into the trap of thinking that because everything is so good here, it's easy for everything to be so good. It took several centuries of infrastructure building and culture building and people sacrificing and sacrificing and sacrificing to make the kind of country that we are today. And that kind of country needs to be preserved, and it can't be preserved without people who have the character to do hard things, to say, you know, I'm going to pay the burden. And our country is threatened by people not understanding what it costs to have such a good society and economy. And I mean, we look really good right now, but we've basically been, you know, spending, we've been a bunch of prodigals. We have been spending more than our ancestors put in the bank. We've been spending more than our grandkids could possibly put in the bank. And so, I mean, we need to stop that. It's straight up headed for bankruptcy, you know, $200 trillion in unfunded liabilities at the federal level, which doesn't include, I think it's more than $100 trillion in unfunded public pension liabilities at the state and local levels. You know, we are drowning in debt. And if we want to solve that problem, it first starts with our own pocketbooks. We have to personally learn how to get out of debt and stay out of debt and live within our means. And when we do that personally, then we become the kind of people who create a country that can solve this massive problem that everybody is super scared of, which is why our politicians won't touch it.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist and author of the book, The Education Invasion. In a recent column titled, Millennials Should Work the Behinds Off and Pay Their Own College Debt Like I Did. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joy, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We're going to play 4 soundbites for you. One from Pastor David Peterson, Why Christians Care About Pure Doctrine. The second from Dr. Mati Laisala about why evolution pervades unrelated subjects. Soundbite number 3 from Scott Klusendorf, why the pro-life label is important. And soundbite number 4, Dr. Alan Carlson, on what happened in the 1960s. Then you're going to vote and pick one of those to be Soundbite of the Week.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead."
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel.
"And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations."
Live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armed forces.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Everett, Washington. Mount Olive Lutheran, Madison, Wisconsin. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Gloria Day Lutheran, Davie, Florida. St. Paul Lutheran, Wildwood, Missouri. Redeemer Lutheran, St. Cloud, Minnesota. Concordia Lutheran, Geneseo, Illinois. Holy Cross Lutheran, Rockland, California. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Appleton, Minnesota. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.